Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Dear, dear James and John, sometimes we, like they, are after ambition and not unity. So here they are in this moment saying to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." I think Jesus' answer was, what is it you want me to do for you? I believe Jesus would have been startled and would have said, what is it you want me to do for you? And so they have this moment. But that moment is not just in Mark. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the helicopter mother of John and James. The helicopter mother goes to Jesus, and she says to him, "I want you to give the best for my sons, right and left." In the Gospel of Luke, we just hear there was a dispute. But in Mark's Gospel, we have this moment where they ask Jesus to do whatever it is they were going to ask him. So his answer is, "Well, can you drink my cup? And can you live my baptism?" And without thinking, they said, "Yes, we can." And Jesus says, "Yes, you will drink my cup. And you will continue to live into my baptism." I think all of you have seen the Capital One commercial, which ends with, "What's in your wallet?" What's in your cup? 30 years ago, at least 30 years ago, I was in a gallery, an art gallery in Palm Desert. Beautiful artwork on the walls. Sculptures and beautiful ceramics. In the back of the room, and I'd never see this really in art galleries, there was the word clearance on this chalice. I was drawn to it, and I picked it up, and I said, "Oh my God, God. This is a chalice." And God said, "Yes." So I picked up this chalice, and it was golden and beautiful, and there's lines moving on it, and there's different colors, and the surface is incredible. And then I looked inside, and it's black and white. And don't we often judge by appearances, what's on the surface? And we don't see what's inside of another human being. And what's inside of another human being is often black and white. Joys and sorrows, suffering and happiness. We don't see struggle. We see the surface. The surface of everyone normally reveals activity and feelings and thoughts. We call it body language, but it's still the surface. And this is a gorgeous cup. But inside, it is black and white. What is in your cup? What is in your cup? What are you feeling and thinking about right now that is in your cup? So the process of holding a chalice is powerful. We know at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup, held it up, blessed, and passed it on. All of us are called to hold our cups, to hold what is in our lives, to not deny, but to accept and to be honest about what we are dealing with, how we feel. What we are holding together often is what we say. I've got to hold it together. We are holding our cup. Then the next thing that happens with a chalice is you lift it up. When you lift up your cup, you are lifting an attitude of relationship with Jesus Christ, who lifted up the cup for us. Jesus Christ lifted up the cup for us. So whatever is held in your cup, when you lift it up, Jesus is lifting it with you. You are never alone. He held it up for us and with us. Then you need to drink when you receive a chalice or dip your wafer into a chalice. In life, sometimes we sip at what's going on because it's hard or bitter. Other times it is great and we gulp. We can't drink fast enough with what's going on. We gulp it down. Jesus, in his life, received the cup, and he had said to his disciples 3 times before this gospel today, "We're on our way to Jerusalem. The way I have been loving and teaching and healing and preaching is such that we're moving to a perfect storm. And I know that the way I have been and the way the Pharisees and religious leaders are is a perfect storm, and I'm going to die out of the way that I love, out of the way that I'm holding this cup, and I will be lifted up." And in this gospel, we don't hear those 3 predictions that have just happened. We just hear James and John being distracted. Who gets to sit at your right and the left? But then Jesus says, if you want to be great, you need to be a servant of all. A servant of all. How can we make that real in language that we can live? For me, preparing for today, I thought of the prayer of St. Francis as a way of being a servant prayer. This could be the way that Jesus is saying to us today. And so we can pray this to Jesus. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. That's being a servant. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And pardoning is probably one of the hardest cups to swallow. For it is in dying that we are reborn. So Jesus, at the Last Supper, took the cup, lifted it up, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And what's extraordinary is that every time we come together for Eucharist, a cup is held up, and we are all in it. We are all in the cup. It is one bread, one body, one Lord, one cup. How do we hold each other's cup also? And the other part of communion that's pretty profound is that a cup is passed from one person to another. And you either dip or drink. Jesus drank his cup of life to the very bottom. He gave everything he had. There was nothing left. That is the transformation that we are invited to be a part of. One day at a time, to hold what is in our life, to lift it to Jesus, knowing he's holding it with you, and then drink as you can. Do not gulp it down. Drink as you can in the intention of faith, in hope, and in love. Well, it broke. Isn't that amazing? We're not meant to hold on to anything. This can be fixed. All of our lives are fixable, aren't they? No one is permanently broken, and this cup isn't either. It can be fixed. Well, God, that was amazing.